He's the counterpart of the voice of the Cougars on the Cougar IMG Sports Network. He does the color, he does the commentary, and throws in some jokes. His name is Mark Durant. He's the funniest guy on Twitter. Mark, how you doing?
Doing great, and it's always nice to talk to you, Ben. But man, this is a thrill for me. I mean, Brian Logan, he's my hero.
Right?
I had no idea.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, what makes Brian Logan your hero, though? Because, I mean, it's different for everyone. For me, he's my hero because of his biceps. For other people, it's just because he defied the odds as a 5'4" cornerback. I'm playing, not 5'4". He didn't even laugh,
two
dude.
2 inches, bro.
He's about to punch me in the face. No, he defied the odds and made it to the top and was one of the best defensive backs in the country, according to those stats. I mean, he was an honorable mention All-American. So, I mean, why is Brian your hero?
Well, first of all, congratulations to you for having the nerve to insult him, his height, with him right there with those biceps.
Oh, no, he's going to beat me up afterward. I'm going to try to run away, man.
He knows I'm not going to do that.
As much as I love BYU basketball and I'm involved with that and all that, you know, to be honest, football's where my heart's at, and that's where I'm a really big fan. And, yeah, for Brian, watching Brian play and do what he's done, that's kind of why he's my hero. But all those other things are good too. But you know, I appreciate a guy that works hard and is successful and plays at BYU and plays football. I mean, that's impressive to me. Basketball is easy. Football's hard.
Well, I appreciate that. I just want to say, you know, when I grow up, I want to be like you guys.
Shut up, dude. You're so dumb.
What do you mean? I can't. What? I can't have, like,
you got. You're saying. You
just,
say you want to be like us?
I'm
like,
saying,
in what way?
Like you guys are successful in this business. I'm like a rookie in this, so I'm just, you know.
You got more skill than both of us.
It's good to have some people to look up to.
But I love that you bring that up. I love that that's really revealing, that comment that you just made, that your heart is in football. Like, so, I mean, you have an inside track here. I mean, are you waiting for Mark Lyons to retire, and then you're going to step in as that color guy on football too?
I'm ready. You know, Fowler does the football and the basketball. I think I could jump in and fill in for Mark. Actually, Mark, you know, I actually know nothing about football, but I love it. You know, I played so much basketball. I watched so much basketball that, you know, it almost becomes a job at times. You know, it's just been such a big part of my life. But football is just more like a fun thing for me. And, you know, growing up, I lived in Provo. My dad and I would go to every game, and it was such a special thing. And so, yeah, I mean, listen, don't get me wrong. I love basketball, but football is just a lot of fun, and I've enjoyed watching it over the years.
Mark Durant on with us here at Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Mark, let's talk about these transfers and how they affect the future health and maybe the lineups in this BYU basketball program. Will these eventually affect the team negatively or positively, and why?
Well, my hope is in the long run that it's a positive thing, but as I look at it right now, I mean, I see BYU's main weaknesses is defense and athleticism and size. And so you're losing Frank Bartley, who's certainly one of your more athletic guys, a good defender. And you lose Isaac Nielsen, who is so long. And 7-footers don't come around every day. And so it would appear on its face to me right now that's a loss for BYU. But I hope in the long run, I think, you know, Dave Rose has a plan. It may hurt particularly next year, a couple years down the road, I don't think so much, which may have been a factor in why Isaac Nielsen says, hey, I'm not going to stick around, because in a couple years, I'm not going to sniff the court with some of these guys that looks like will be playing for BYU. So I think probably right now it hurts them, but I think Dave Rose has some stuff up his sleeve yet to be done this summer, as well as he's got a pretty full cupboard coming up in the next couple of years. So, I get to spend time with these guys and see their families, and it really does make me very sad when it doesn't work out. But I never begrudge a player if he thinks it's best for him to move on and try and find a spot where he can be more successful and get more time and kind of fulfill those dreams that their whole life. So to the extent that they've, I mean, I'm sure Dave Rose laid out the situation for them and what, you know, who they're competing against and playing time and what he expects from them. And they made a decision. And whether or not it hurts BYU in the long run or helps them, I don't begrudge a kid from doing that. And I think to be cold about it, I think BYU is going to be fine as far as, being able to, you know, move on from them, and they'll be fine moving on from BYU. But, you know, this is not Kafusi we're talking about. It's not Chase Fisher we're talking about. These guys were role players, and I like them a lot. But it's not devastating by any means to a program, especially when you look at who you've got coming in the next couple of years.
You know, Mark, we talked earlier in the show about why guys usually transfer from Dave Rose's program, and it mostly due to just not committing to the vision and the culture and just some type of a cancer. We didn't really see that with Frank Barley from what I have seen. And we kind of speculated that it was more for just a better opportunity. Do you think that was the case with Frank?
Well, I don't know the specifics on Frank, but generally speaking, and it happens in every program, and what happens is these kids come from situations where they're enormously successful. I mean, to get a scholarship in college at a place like BYU, you have to be an unbelievable player. And so you come from a high school situation where you're scoring 20, 30 points a game, and you're all world, and everybody thinks you're the greatest thing ever that's ever happened, and you're going to be in the NBA, and your family and your neighbors, and maybe you're from a smaller town, the whole town gets behind you and thinks, man, boy, he's going to be amazing. He's going to, you know, be an All-American in college, go to the pros. And sometimes it doesn't work out that way, whether it be your own game limits you, or there's a conflict with coaching staff and playing time, and whatever it is. But then you go home and people wonder why you aren't playing, you got to go somewhere where you can get an opportunity. And sometimes that gets in kids' minds. I'm not saying that's what happened to Frank or Isaac, but it's hard to begrudge them that. Like I said, I mean, these are very critical years. It's prime years, and if you do have hopes of playing beyond college, you can't be sitting the bench. You got to go somewhere where you feel like you can, you know, put your product out on the floor for people to see. And I think it just became clear to these guys that they're not going to get the time they want and the opportunity that they want. And I don't know if it's blame on coaches or on them or anything, but that's just the situation they found themselves in. And so they move on. But again, it's tough to swallow because I think they are very good players. They have their limitations, but they're both very young, and I, particularly with Isaac, I thought, well, you know, he's got his limitations, but I saw some really good things from him this year, and I think if he worked at it and developed a back-to-the-basket game, he could actually be a really good player. And so this is not a situation where these guys are just bums and didn't pan out and they're not good players, and that frustrates me a little bit, but I think they can go somewhere and develop and be very successful.
Yeah, I think Brian brought up a really good point. Like, when I look at the there's five guys that have transferred, I think, from the program since, like, 2010. Matt Carlino, DeMarcus Harrison, Delgado Ambrosino, Michael Lloyd. And one of the recurring themes that I see amongst this group are they wanted to be that guy. They want, you know, they thought about maybe me first. And I know DeMarcus is a little bit of an – There's some difference there because he was going to serve a mission, then he didn't serve a mission, and then they didn't have a scholarship. But I still felt the talent level that he had, they probably should have done something there. But I don't know all the intricacies there. But I know that he wanted an expanded role. He was not happy with the role that he was playing while he was at BYU that first year, and he came on strong in that last. But I don't put either one of those guys in the same category of these other five.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you know, part of the problem is you've got to take advantage of opportunities when they're giving you. I mean, the season goes by fast, and you've got to kind of see what's around you. I remember a young, handsome, 6'6", 200-pound forward out of Provo High School back in '89 going to BYU, and I looked around. It was Marty Hawes and Andy Toulson, and I thought, how am I going to even get on the floor here? So I kind of examined what BYU needed. Man, they need a role player guy that defends the heck out of the ball and gets rebounds. They don't need a score. They got scores. So I just tried my best to focus on trying to help the team in those ways. And I think that's part of the problem with Frank and Isaac is they are good players, but they didn't kind of find ways to really help the team, whether it be rebounding or playing good defense down low or making good decisions. I mean, Frank would get the ball and transition, get past half court, and I just start shaking my head because I know what's coming. He's going to go out of control. Maybe he scores, but more than likely he's going to turn it over, get a charge. And you just can't have that when you're not Tyler Hawes or Kyle Collins. You're fighting for minutes. You can't make mistakes. You've got to go and some kind of value to the team and to Coach Rose, or else you're not going to get the minutes. And that's kind of what you have to do the first year or two to get your foot in the door, and then you can maybe do some of those other things. And you know, again, I'm not just saying it's anybody's fault, but it's such a competition now, and BYU had some really good players that you have to find your role and then really excel at it. And I think those two were, as good as they are, were a little bit inconsistent this year, and you just kind of didn't know what you were going to get, and that makes it hard on a coach to really rely on you in critical times when he just doesn't know what he's going to get from you when you're on the floor.
Mark, one last question for you. Jay Drew from the Salt Lake Tribune reported that possibly that Isaac was urged to move on from the program. I have a hard time believing that. And it probably was coming from the the Nielsen party that that's where I would assume. I hate to speculate, but what kind of conversation do you think Coach Rose would have with Isaac regarding scholarship situation? Do you think he would actually urge him to leave the program, or would he say something to the effect of, you're going to have to compete for a scholarship this next year, so you got to bring your A game. And what is suitable in that situation if you're a coach?
I think coaches owe it to players to just be frank with them, and I think that's probably what happened with Coach Rose. He probably laid it out very clearly. This is what I think is going to be your role next year and in the future. And I doubt that he urged him out, but maybe portrayed a picture for what was going to happen in the future that was compelling enough to make Isaac think, I better get out of here because there's really not a great future for me here. And I value that in a coach that's candid rather than trying to lead a guy along. And like I said, these kids, these are critical years, so you want to be up front with them. But I am a little bit surprised with Isaac, like I said, because I think he did show a lot of promise. And I think he could have developed a little more toughness in a back-to-the-basket post game that could have been at least serviceable. Particularly when, I look at Jamal Aites, who I'm excited about, but I can't get out of the back of my head, guys, if he's ever even going to play.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that, and I hope that he does. It does, but big guys, it's just the fact that it's hard to recover from those foot ankle type injuries, and he's really having a hard time recovering. Then Nate Austin, he's having a hard time recovering. Who knows what you're going to get from those guys? Are they even going to play next year? So you've really got, that scares me that you're getting rid of a serviceable big man when you may need really badly some big men to play next year. So that's why I don't know that Coach Rose would send him on his way, because they might need him. But I do think Dave is the kind of man and the kind of coach that says, hey, this is the reality, and, it's a decision that you're going to have to make.
Mark, as always, incredible insight and value to our show. You are what makes this show great.
Well, you need to have me on more then.
I try.
I tell him, Mark, you don't understand.
I'd be trying to tell him.
I was trying to schedule. You got it. When I'm trying to be like somebody, when I want to grow up and be like somebody, you got to have that person on so I can take notes. Forgive me for not asking a lot of questions. I was just taking some notes here. That's all.
Mark, man, thanks so much for coming on. If you need anything from us, please give me a holler. Feel free. Anytime. All right, brother. Let me know.
You said I could get some free golf when I want to play with Brian.
All right, man.
Hey, I am down. You just got to teach me. I'm not really too good. But
honor. You stay away from the right side because he will hit the ball directly laterally and even behind him, and he will hit you. So you're never safe with Brian.
That's hard. That shows some real ability.
Mark, we appreciate you. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks. I'll see you.